looking for one more commissioner. Our forum is four. We are experienced, so officially, we can't have when you see that person, you want many names.
Hey, what's up, man? Excuse me, Phil. We're gonna broadcast too. Live show. Yeah.
Cool jacket.
Second show, $7.
Nice. Maybe that. So, anytime you want to read that in, absolutely feel free. So, the first bit is really, the public comment, the commission stays pretty long during that, so you should say whatever you want to say. Public and then they'll go talk to all of us, but the commission wants to not speak until later in the meeting, and we'll review the application as usual. It's our story. Thanks. Craig, good morning.
Morning.
We're just waiting for Miranda.
This is that sign bracket.
It's our eighth application for 265.
Well, this is just a sign. They put it just a flat top square bracket.
Yeah.
Connection of So I gave them two options, take it down or reapply.
Okay, they reapply. And I got the application, but you know. Greg, they never got back to you on the voting on the marble?
No. I don't know if they will. I think that'll probably go directly to here.
Okay.
Good morning. Thank you all for coming. We're proposing this building at 211 Warren. I'm sure that many of you are familiar with the lengthy process we have gone through to get here. We unfortunately lost the old building for which we had a tremendous amount of affection last fall when we had those several days of rain. We lost the foundation, and we finally made a call to take the building down when we lost the north portion of the foundation after having spent an awful lot of time and resources to shore the building up from the interior after it was shored up from the exterior by the sea. So over the winter, we built new foundations at the existing perimeter of the original building, and we are now proposing a new building for that same location. The building is on Warren between 2nd and 3rd, more towards 2nd, next to Ackerman's parking lot. We should point out that the new building will have the exact same footprint as the original, and we're trying to be respectful of both the original building, which is a late 1800s two-story building, and the vernacular on Warren Street. We are proposing a building that is approximately the same size, as I said, footprint-wise, but one half-story higher. We're making an attic, which is very typical of all the buildings up and down Warren Street. The building two doors down is very similar with attic windows. So we're proposing a gray brick building using Roman brick, which is a lengthened and thinner brick. We're proposing a bay window, which is typical up and down Warren, and it's also reflected in the building immediately next door. The bay window would be painted wood, as is also typical up and down Warren Street. But we're also modernizing the appearance, so we're trying to be respectful of Warren and its historic district by bulk, but trying to obviously make something that does not stand out too much, but also doesn't look like it's a replica of what exists here. So Shukri will tell you through, take you through a little bit of some of the details of the building. I do have a statement from one of our neighbors that I'll read after Shukri is finished, and then we'd be happy to answer any questions that you have for us.
So up at the front, the unique thing about this building is that it used to have a storefront, which wasn't there at the in the building that was demolished, but we have historic photographs that show that, for example, there used to be a barber shop. So the building is actually divided in two, and the residential area is a little higher up than the sidewalk entrance to the storefront. So we're reintroducing that, the storefront. The residential building go up precast concrete steps to the main entrance here, and all of this, as Craig said, is the gray brick. And these windows are pretty much in the same position that the existing building used to have them at. And then this is the bay windows with the painted wood finish. And wrapping around, this material at the east-facing facade is it's a concrete fiber siding that will be gray as well. And the roof will be a standing metal seam roof painted. And then going around to the backside, the concrete fiber siding continues up at the attic level and at the base, and then the bay windows wrap around, taking up the entire facade. And again, at the top here, painted standing seam metal roof, and a new wood fence and rear yard. The building we are proposing is a hyper-efficient passive house building. So the energy spent to heat and cool the building will be very minimal. The windows and the doors, for example, are triple glazed, and they are very well sealed to the building envelope, which basically has a membrane on the inside that makes it almost like a balloon. So it's hyper efficient, and we're hoping to have it certified by the Passive House Institute. And the same goes for the walls and the roof. They are, I believe our walls are about 18 inches thick. So there's quite a bit of insulation in there. And that's one of the reasons the windows look the way they do, is because of their operation. To have a very good seal, these windows need to be very tight against the frame. So that's how the building, that's the building we're proposing and what it would look like.
Part of the reason for bringing the bay window all the way around the south side is because the bay window projects out from the building, we can use its shadows to reduce heat gain from the south. So you can see there in the rendering that the shadow line, both of the roof overhang and of the bay window overhang, shade those windows and reduce the amount of heat gain during the winter, during the summer, but then with a lower angle of the sun in the winter, we will gain heat from those windows facing south. I'd just like to read Nick. We have obviously developed very close relationships with our two neighbors as we've struggled through this. So Michael is here. Thank you, Michael. And Nick Haddad on the other side has also been very, very helpful. And we have obviously taken away a fair amount of Ackerman's parking lot over this nightmare of a process. But Nick just sent me an email this morning, and I thought I would read it just so that I can tell you how he feels about the building. He says, "I, Nick Haddad, at 217 Warren Street, the property immediately to the east of the proposed project, have absolutely no objection to the design or purpose regarding the passive house proposed for 211 Warren Street. Our city is not colonial Williamsburg. I believe contemporary interpretations of our historic architecture can be fitted into the landscape with no ill or long-term effect. Incidentally, I am a former member of the commission and strongly endorse its continuing mission. Sincerely, Nick Haddad." So if you have any questions, we'd be happy to answer those for you. Yes?
I'd like to first say thank you for your presentation and your careful consideration to this project. The concept of building a building that has multi-generational life is really critical to Warren Street, and it's very typical of Warren Street. Buildings that are on Warren Street were built to last a long time. So in that regard, what you presented here is perfectly, is wonderfully appropriate. That part is wonderfully appropriate to the street. I think the massing that you've created is also perfectly appropriate. Of course, you had a model to work with the previous building. I think that the extension of the attic windows is perfectly appropriate, even though it's not a copy, if you will, of the previous building. I very much like the fenestration of the four windows across the top that are symmetrical.
Point of order, Mr. Chairman. Is this a question, or are we having testimony now?
The public can speak
as
it wishes.
This is not a question, period. I understood that we were now about to ask questions of the applicant.
Chip will get to a question
we
at some point, I'm sure.
We seem to be hearing a comment rather than a question.
Let's hold public comment. And anyone in the audience is free to make whatever comments they wish.
Thank you. I like the four windows across the top, that they're equally spaced. I think that's also characteristic of Hudson. We see the cornices up and down Hudson that are very regular. And then as that goes down to the street, it loses its regularity. It loses its symmetry. And sometimes the second floor windows align with them, sometimes they don't, and coming down to the first floor storefront, I think, is perfectly appropriate. And I think you've set up a mass and a basic that is quite appropriate. The form of the second floor bay window is dynamic architecturally, and I think it does introduce the modern or contemporary element to the building. And it's wrapping around the side and then being interrupted by another surface and then picking back up as it goes around is very interesting, and it's very dynamic architecturally, but I think that it relies too strongly on the parking lot remaining a parking lot for it to be successful. And I think that 5, 10, 15, some number of years down the road, that will no longer be a parking lot. And I think then this architectural interlocking that you've done, which is very interesting, I think will be lost. And we can see that on the rear of the building where the barn of the back, if we look at just the rear elevation, we see how blocky that second floor is there. I think it's perfectly appropriate that the rear elevation has less symmetry. I like even the introduction of the horizontality in the back because of the porches that are on the side and the tremendous informality that happens on the back of the building. I think you have a lot of options for that rear. But going back to the front, I think that architectural form that wraps around will become very unsuccessful with the building beside it, because we'll simply see that projection of that second floor room, and it is very heavy and not engaging with the public interface in the way that a typical second floor bay window does. The window of the building that's next on the second floor, and all of the bay windows up and down Warren Street have windows on their sides. And when we're on the street, we can see into that space. And when we're in that space on the second floor, we can see the sidewalk. We can see our own sidewalk, and we can see up and down the street. And this interface of public and private is really important and charming on Warren Street. And I think that this bay doesn't accomplish that because it only has windows in the front. They're punched windows into that. They're not. Most of the bay windows, the glass is very close to each other. They turn the corner. It's extremely transparent. The storefront offers that great exchange of private and public space. And that, of course, is characteristic of the street as well. So one of the questions that I would pose is, could we take another look at that bay, that second floor bay, and could it be a greater and more transparent interface between the public and the private? The other aspect of the second floor bay windows as we go up and down the street is that their architectural finish is decorative. It is ornamented. And I think I'm an architect. I have a great deal of respect for the profession. I think that we as a profession crossed the threshold in 1929, whereby everything before 1929, architects were very inventive about ornamentation. They were very creative about creating ornament. After 1929, that sort of all went away. I think we all still kind of suffer a hangover from that. Most, if not 95, at least 95% of the buildings on Warren Street were built before 1929. So they have a matter of ornamentation, which is characteristic of the street, and it's charming. And I think it's a challenge for us to create an ornamentation that is appropriate for our generation, for our time of construction. So my question is, could we rethink this bay projection so that it is more delicate, that it is more charming, that it has more transparency? And maybe the storefront grows up into that and it becomes a part of the storefront, or maybe it is a third element, if you will, that it is right now. I do want to just say for the commission that this is a terrific presentation. You've given the commission the information that they need to make a decision. And that's terrific. And it's a model for future presentations. The commission is going to be faced with these questions of infill hot and heavy coming up in the years to come, because we're going to see more and more of these projects. And developing a vocabulary and a language about how to deal with it and how to really assess the appropriateness of a new building, it has to balance. Architects have to balance two things, and the commission needs to balance this same. It needs to be appropriate for the street, wherever it is, whatever location it is. It needs to be appropriate at the same time that it needs to make a statement that it's new. The National Park Service standards for new buildings in historic districts state that, appropriately, that new buildings should be frankly new and not reproductions of previous buildings. That's a basic fundamental principle that's been in place from the 70s. And so the architects and the board have to come up with, how do we balance these two dichotomies, these two items that are almost diametrically opposed? One is we want it to be appropriate, or we want it to be consistent, and on the other hand, we also want it to say something new. And I think the architects have aimed at that. They have attempted to do this here. And there are many, many ways that solution can come about. I thank you for your work and your presentation.
Well, thank you. I can tell you're an architect. So I have a couple of answers to that, and should we may have some others. Let's talk about the bay first. Let's talk about the side elevation first. So this particular building is a little atypical for Warren in that it has an empty lot. There are a few and up and down Warren, and in general, they are clapboard going back down the side. So that was why we did this in particular here. In fact, this building was originally shingle siding and then covered. There was a series of extensions, and it was eventually covered with, I think it was vinyl, I can't remember. So we were very aware of the fact that, A, this had this large expanse of side elevation that was exposed to the public on the sidewalk, but also very aware of the fact that it might get covered in the future. Mm-hmm. And so we that's basically the reason that we came up with this bay extension, because it would, once covered on the side, be appropriate bulk-wise when there was a building adjacent to it the way it was more typical up and down more. The bay itself, because we're making a building that's passive and the windows are set into a wall that's approximately 16 inches thick, and we only are allowed to project a certain amount over the sidewalk, we have a mathematical problem, which is that we have a thick wall that then does a 90-degree turn. And we absolutely would have preferred to put windows either on a 45 or a 90 on the return. But the wall is so thick that it makes it logistically difficult, if not impossible, which is why we only left them facing the street, which is a little unusual, obviously, for Warren Street, but a choice that we made because of that mathematical problem with a thick wall. We have detailed the brick, which is a Roman brick, as I said, and the intent is to have a row lock that runs across the top of the bay, which you can see, and then a row lock across the top of the marble base, and then we were going to do a series of row locks and headers around the corners of each opening to detail the brick a little bit, to give the expansive brick some sense of detailing while also not trying to overwhelm the building. And the detailing in the brick is a little unusual for Warren as well, so we wanted to be a little subtle with that.
And we This is the, I believe, the fourth time we're presenting to the commission, because we had a building before and we were trying to salvage that. So that design was different. And we have gone through a couple of iterations of the bay windows. Please.
A question and a brief comment. I may be pleased you need to know that I'm not an architect. Just a householder. My wife lives at, will be your neighbor, it's at 244 Warren Street. This is the garden. The question is, what is the projection of the bay so from the facade?
How long does it project?
Yeah, how far?
It's about 2 feet.
About 2 feet.
Yeah.
And the comment is welcome to the neighborhood. It's a very pleasing and sophisticated design, entirely respectful of the other buildings on the street and block. One might say almost too respectful. I need to bend over backwards to do that. And I applaud the modern design and the great disease that has infected Hudson is full federalism that's struck and building imitation and big buildings, and it's been so refreshing to see a building of its time and honestly so, and with such better design. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much. We are highly aware of what we're doing here, and there are many ways we could have gone. We could have done something that is very, very clearly not not a historic building or not a replica. And we could have also done something that was a replica, and we chose sort of a middle path, which sometimes isn't all that successful, but we felt quite happy with this one, the way we got to this final design. So thank you very much.
I have a statement. I'll just ask a quick question. Why did you choose GFRC for the side wall?
We didn't choose. I'm sorry. It's no, it's not. It's not cheaper. It's actually more expensive. We chose a composite concrete board, but we're going. It has a consistent color through it, so we can rip it down to an appropriate size, and build it like a clapboard, but make it last much longer. So it's actually not cheap.
I prepared a statement because, in fact, I was so angry that I thought if I spoke extempore, I might say something which could be refuted, which I think you have in a way done, although whatever kind of GFRC you're using, it is not going to look like wood. And normally it might be brick also. 7 years ago, there were two very early houses in our historic districts that were in a state of serious disrepair. I bought one of them, 7 Union, believing that there is a civic obligation to preserve and protect a house that had been kept and perhaps loved by a succession of homeowners for more than 200 years. Not believing that, one might still be swayed by the Hudson City Code, section 169.13, which is titled Maintenance and Repair Required, which forbids allowing a landmark to fall into, quote, a hazardous condition which could lead to a claim that demolition is necessary for the public safety. Now, at 211 Warren, former site of one of Hudson's oldest historic buildings, one that the proprietors who founded the city must have known, we are looking at a hole in the ground and a proposal for a new building that does little to compensate for the loss. Though close to the old footprint, it does not replicate the massing of the lost house, as is clear both from old photos and from the ghost outline on the neighbor's wall. In 2017, the applicant was prepared to reuse the historic facade, but extensively restoring it to an earlier documented appearance. a scheme from 2015 to convert it to a passive house has had been dropped. The 2017 application was approved by this commission. Global warming is a crisis, but small private houses are not a leading source of carbon emissions. Passive houses are very expensive. The number of people who can afford them is small. I would characterize a passive house as a millionaire's feel-good toy, which has little capacity to save the planet and does not justify an appropriate design in an historic district. The alleged design relationship to the context here is conceptual, but in no way visual. The material is brick, but an alien brick, not a Hudson brick. The excrescence described as a bay has none of the transparency of a real bay, which in any case would be an anomaly on the second floor of a house with this massing. So an argument can be worded to claim the design is contextual, but our eyes tell us otherwise. The proposed design is a misfit. And I'm Christabel Goss of 233 Union Street.
Sorry you feel that way.
How many folks building up
my recognized?
Three.
Okay. I'm Ronald Kopnicki, resident of Hudson. On August 11, 2017, the Historic Preservation Commission granted this applicant a certificate of appropriateness for a proposal for 211 Warren Street. This approval should be the basis for future construction on this site. More than the original 2015 proposal for the restoration of the facade, which the HPC had approved, and dramatically more than the current proposal for new post-demolition construction, the 2017 proposal fulfills the intentions of Hudson's Historic Preservation Law. In 2015, the applicant presented before the commission on March 13th. According to the HPC minutes, the applicant proposed a, quote, renovation and addition, unquote. The plan called for the renovation of the facade based on an interpretation of the oldest photograph that they can find, for the construction of a passive building behind the facade, and for a rear structure, a garage with apartment space. The commission instructed the city attorney to prepare a C of A approving the front structure, with the provision that the applicant return to the rear structure if it met with the approval of planning and zoning. This motion passed unanimously. On March 27th, on then-Commissioner Voorhees' motion, the commission unanimously approved the prepared C of A, then described as involving a, quote, application for partial demolition, renovation, and restoration of a facade, unquote. The applicant, who had appeared before planning already on March 11th, went before planning again on May 13th and gained approval contingent on the prohibition of parking in the back alley. Planning sent the applicant back to HPC for approval of the rear parking garage. It is unclear whether the applicant returned to the HPC for this approval. After 2 years, on June 9th, 2017, the applicant reappeared before HPC with an application for an exterior renovation that was approved previously, which they proposed a change, according to the minutes. Whereas they planned originally to retain the original facade only and to restore it and construct a passive building, they now have dropped plans for a passive front building and for the rear structure. They will, quote, keep the existing foundation and footprint, unquote, and propose to renovate the facade to the appearance of the building as shown in, again as in 2015, the oldest historic photograph that they could find. Also, as in 2015, they cited their consideration of existing historic Hudson storefronts as possible models. The proposal generally met with approval, but because it lacked a narrative about what they are proposing to do, the application was found incomplete and the applicant instructed to return with a narrative and revised drawings based on the meeting's discussion. They did so on August 11th, and on the motion of then-Commissioner Voorhees, unanimously granted a new C of A with a waiver of the public hearing.
then-commissioner and one-time chair Rector, commended the applicant on this 2017 proposal. What has happened at the site since this latest approval? In October of 2018, the existing structure reached a point of crisis, which required total demolition, including the facade. On April 12th of this year, the applicant appeared at the HPC meeting and in the workshop, described by the chair as an informal presentation, made a proposal for new construction. According to Gossips of Rivertown, Saturday, September 14th, 2019, replacing what was lost. This proposal was not enthusiastically embraced. The design was particularly described as jarring, and objection was made to the use of the material, Corten steel. The current proposal does not revise its workshop design sufficiently. The front window configuration has been altered slightly, and the material of the butt-out on the facade, which drew criticism of the workshop, has changed, but the butt-out itself remains. The proposal also brings back up the plan for a passive building dropped in 2017, which affects the treatment of the windows. Among the purposes of this city's historic preservation law, number 169-1, are the following. A, protect and enhance the landmarks and historic districts which represent distinctive elements of Hudson's historic architectural and cultural heritage. B, foster civic pride in the accomplishments of the past. The criteria for approval of certificates of appropriateness, section 169-6, are the following. One, properties that contribute to the character of the historic district shall be retained, with their historic features altered as little as possible. Two, any alteration of existing properties shall be compatible with their historic character as well as with the surrounding district. And three, new construction shall be compatible with the district in which it is located. The law also recognizes the concept of demolition by neglect and includes it as a defined term, section 169-2. The loss of an historic building which contributed to the character of an historic district should not be the springboard for appropriateness, for inappropriate and discordant new construction. That loss and this proposed new construction can hardly be said to enhance Hudson's landmarks and historic districts or, quote, foster civic pride in the accomplishments of the past. Go back to the last approved proposal, granted enthusiastically in 2017, and to the old historic photograph that they could find as the basis for future construction on the site. Thank you.
That is impossible, I'm sorry.
Well, I don't see why.
May I respond? It's impossible because the original facade, unfortunately, had to go. We cannot, in good conscience, propose to rebuild the exact facade. It would just be a facsimile.
First of all, do you have that historic photograph on which you based the previous proposal?
Not with us today. No.
You have it?
Yes.
I would like to see it. I, as a member of the public, would like to see what the basis for the approval in 2017 was.
You would like to see
the picture.
Historic photograph?
Yes, the one that you were using in 2017 as your basis.
Sure,
we can get you that one.
And I would like this commission to be able to see it.
They have seen it.
Everyone on this commission was a member in 2017.
We have submitted.
Does the commission have a copy of the photograph?
Yes, but this is not.
Well, we're talking now about what you got approval for in 2017.
Excuse me. This is a public hearing, okay?
It's not an argument. I will explain if you give me.
Make your comments to the commission. The commission can follow up and ask questions.
What I wanted to ask the applicant or the commission: does the commission have a copy of this picture?
I'm sure we do.
Okay. Fine.
But if that was your question, yes.
Yes, that was my question.
This application is for this design. After the house was demolished, we can no longer submit the materials we did for the 2017.
Well, I said what I said, and I'm not going to reiterate it. I think the commission should go back to that approval and use what was approved then as a model for the new construction. That's my belief. You say it's impossible. Fine. The commission will have a final decision.
Okay.
Thank you.
Anyone else?
say, I own a property across the street from there. And that building that was there before was no historic gem. And I appreciate that you made the effort to try to fix it, but it did fall down. This, I'm staring at it now for about 15 minutes, blends pretty well into what is there. It complements the rest of the block. It's a more modern design. But I understand the historic value of things. I understand the concerns of the city and the people of the city. But it is, at the same time, it's also a new property. And I feel that falls within working together. And everybody's going to get what they want out of what you're designing here. That's what I feel. So I just wanted to let you know it's okay with me. Thank you very much.
I live a block down, so I'm not very neighbor close. I like what you're trying to do. I think the gentleman earlier in the middle of his discourse mentioned that we're going to face this issue of infill on Warren Street and elsewhere regularly. So it's a live issue. So having said that, I particularly like the fact that you've included the retail element in the first floor, because we have and have had for 10 years a gallery at 114 Warren Street, one of our problems, and in fact there was a business community below Third that tried to deal with the fact that there was not enough street traffic below Third, and so this will be an additional element, a positive element in the business life below Third, so I welcome that.
Thank you.
I live at 209, which is the next door neighbor to the property in question on the west side of the property, and I'll echo Mark's comment about the retail space. We took on this building of ours 20 years ago, originally started in 1820, and did our best to restore and to maintain the building as an asset to the community, feeling it was our responsibility to carry on the life of a building that I think if we hadn't taken that on, it probably would have fallen down its own weight within the following few years. So I appreciate the work that these guys did to try and maintain the old building, but that wasn't meant to happen, I guess. So here we have a design that fits into the neighborhood in a lot of different characteristics. And when I think about what buildings like this, the infill is going to be, you look at up and down the street that each of the buildings that was built was fashionable and worked from a technological point of view and a use point of view for the era in which it was built. And they're not all replicas of the founders of the city in the late 1700s. They reflect the style of the time. And here's an example of the style of the early 21st century, which nonetheless fits into the context of the historical neighborhood in which it sits today. It's not a jarring exception to it. It fits right in with the rhythm of the neighborhood, each one adopting the style that it grew up in. So I certainly welcome its presence in our neighborhood.
Thank you. Anybody else?
Yes, I wasn't going to.
Could you say your name? You.
My name is Matt McGee.
Thank you very much.
And I wasn't going to comment more than what I intended to, but having looked at this for some 45 minutes, what I see before me is a pastiche, the drab and the mundane. And I think it's really very directional. And what I came to really address, though, is the cultural significance of 211 Warren Street. The ghost on the wall is all that remains of a likely 250 to 300 year old structure which stood on this site. I believe it had been altered circa 1800, some 50 to 80 years after it was first built. This alteration was an early federal front of brick and marble. The west side wall, rather the east side wall, retained cladding of cedar shingles attached with hand-forged rose nails. These were covered with wide boards. These boards were original to the alteration. Protecting it for more than 200 years and is evidence of an earlier building. The lack of a classic tripart division of base, middle, and attic. The second floor windows were right at the lead point. The look of the silhouette also suggests an updated front on an older building. 211 Warren Street may have been one of two oldest houses in the city, the other being the four square Dutch house with gabled roof on 2nd Street and Montgomery Street. The side yard between the fence and the two-story L extension, which is visible on the photograph I gave you as a ghost. Has been made part of the foundation, and the front door has been moved to the right, changing the rhythm of the door and window placement. The footing that is poured there now does not conform to the original footing of the house. This needs to be corrected. Then this rather English four-bay house with lean-to on the back, later changed to a two-story L with its side yard and rear yard, can and should be restored to at least its late 19th century condition. Restoration is not limited by the federal guidelines. Federal guidelines of 1972 were altered. They do not say that you have to put something modern in your. I would add that Peter Stuyvesant was Dutch governor when England laid claim to Netherlands in 1664. Soon after, in now what is Hudson, became part of English territory. Given this, a house of English nature could easily have been built in the early 18th century in this part of the Hudson River Valley. I would add that Queen Anne promoted immigration to this part of the world, to the land that would have been New Netherlands. And this was early 17th century. Both the cultural and historic significance of this house justify restoration as the just and right thing to do.
Thank you. Any other comments? Okay. If there's no objection, I'd like to close the public hearing and go into our regular session. I can't tell you how grateful I am everybody came today. We work hard to work with applicants. We work hard to get the public to come. They don't always do that. This has been informative and terrific. So in behalf of the commission, we're grateful to everybody who spoke. Much appreciated. Thank you. Thank you.
to our regular order of business. We'll start the commission with reviewing the minutes from the meeting of September 13th. And then we'll hear a motion to approve the minutes as prepared. Second. All in favor? Aye. Minutes are approved. Thank you all very much.
Mr. Chairman, on the minutes, were the corrections made that I emailed you back?
As I promised you by email last night.
Thank you. I didn't get it. Thank you.
Okay. I'm sorry. Take a look, Craig. See if we missed anything.
You just had the wrong Craig, that's all.
I realize that. I knew something like that would happen eventually. We had your name, it should say applicant, on the 211.
It still indicates that the code enforcement officer Haig explained that it was a passive house, and then it also said it's wood.
No. Then I sent out the wrong version. I did change all that. We'll fix it.
All right.
Okay. So on the section on 211, Craig did not introduce the idea of passive house.
I believe I think it should be Craig Coleman.
Okay.
Or the applicant.
Yeah.
Okay. Good. And I made some changes in meeting follow up. So if the commission has no objection, we'll just make those changes. Cool. Certificate of appropriateness votes. To the folks who've been waiting, we committed to a public hearing. People came. We needed to give them an opportunity to speak. It's really important that they're part of the process. So we hung it up a little bit, but this will go fairly quickly because I know you want your seeds of egg. 720 Columbia Street. Certificate of appropriateness has been prepared. We had already agreed to waive a public hearing. Can we approve the C of A then as prepared by the city attorney for 720 Columbia Street? Make a motion. Miranda? You, all in favor? Aye. Unanimous. Is 720 here?
Oh, it's here.
Okay. This is for Craig. And I'll mail that.
Thank you.
717 Columbia Street, certificate of appropriateness. This is a sign for Hudson Hat Company. We've already waived a public hearing. May I have a motion to approve the certificate as prepared to you? Miranda, all in favor? Aye. Done. Is 717 here? Congratulations. Thank you very much, and thank you for your patience.
Thank you. You come see us Monday for your permit.
Okay. Oh. 764 Warren. Again, this is a sign for a new sign for a food studio. I have a motion to approve the certificate as prepared by the city attorney. Paul?
Yes.
Good. You second. All in favor? Aye. We've got to mix them up. Is 764 Warren here? Great. Thank you very much. And thank you.
Appreciate it.
Good point. Union Porch. I wanted them to be here. That was a long journey on that porch. Okay. Motion to approve the porch and railing for 822-824 Union. Paul, good for you for making that motion. And you, second, all in favor? Aye. Or Warren Street. This was it the awning?
Yeah.
Yes. There's another project from Gavin we're going to look at later. Is anyone here from 364? May I have a motion to approve a certificate of appropriateness for an awning in 364? Miranda, Hugh, second. All in favor? Aye. Super. Thank you very much. Good day. Uh, 260 Warren Street. We, again, have already waived a public hearing, so the city attorney has prepared a certificate. May I have a motion to approve? Paul, and a second, please. Hugh, all in favor? Aye. On 260 Warren.
Thank you.
You're very welcome.
I'm sorry, is the 260 Warren, is that for the sign?
No, that's
okay.
Coming later. The
okay.
Sign's a new application.
All right. Great.
I know. I struggled with that sometime earlier this morning as well. too many things happening at one location, but I figured it out. 216 Allen Street. Ah, terrific. Also very patient. Motion to approve 216 Allen Street. Hugh? Paul? Second? Yes. No, he didn't know. Oh, go on. It's already approved. City attorney has been passed by the commission.
Second.
Done. Approved.
Thank you. Thank you for our previous application, too. I think Michael Davis Architects representing us for housing.
Terrific.
So
great. Thank you for coming today.
Thank you so much.
Sixty South Front Street. Is anyone here from 60 South Front? May I have a motion to approve the certificate of appropriateness for 60 South Front Street? Hugh, Miranda, and Paul. All in favor? Aye. Done. Great. Terrific. I'm just wondering, there are folks probably here still from the public meeting, so I guess we should go ahead with a discussion of 211 Warren Street. Craig, can I get you back up?
Sure.
So anything that struck you from the public discussion, or are you good with the presentation you've made and sticking to your?
I think we're good with where we're at. We
okay.
Have two remarkably divergent points of view, with some minor comments about detailing, which I think we are comfortable not changing.
Okay, I tried to. The way our code is written on new construction, and I'll let the city attorney or anyone in the commission correct me if I'm wrong, but it's bound by local law 169. The issues of compatibility and so on still apply, but it is at the end of the day new construction. And at least as long as I've been on the commission, which is a long time, people take one or more of several different paths. They may try to recreate what was or what is immediately adjacent, and the Secretary of the Interior and a lot of localities look positively on that, and many don't, and feel that it's significantly more important to do something that's differentiating. And there's all kinds of snide and mean-spirited terms associated with trying to replicate faux new and
et cetera, et cetera. But you all have to think about that. Warren Street is a little bit different. People come here for lots of reasons, but certainly one of them is historic tourism. It's part of the life of the city. And yet, on the other hand, people mention that things change, and they do. Chip before had said that the Secretary of the Interior Standards were specific about differentiation. That has actually changed in the last year. They've managed to make it more confusing, more complicated, and more ambiguous in terms of that. So it ain't necessarily so. It's an open path as far as we're concerned in terms of our local law for the applicant. But again, we still have to think in terms of elements such as mass, relationship to the neighborhood, et cetera, et cetera. That said, I personally, anyway, continue to be excited on the possibility of beginning to introduce new work to the Hudson. It's a living place. It doesn't have to be a museum. On the other hand, we want a quality visual experience on Main Street, et cetera, et cetera. So I realize that everybody took really strong positions, and it's just not that simple. It's a very complicated problem. Lots of cities have taken this on. It is not easily resolvable. I know Christabel sent me some stuff in terms of positions taken by other cities that were not literally on the side of 100% homage to what was there, but some of them were, and some cities are very successful with that. Kate Johns, our architect, sent me a couple pieces the other night with fairly conflicting points of view on that. So we're a little bit on our own. You guys have to dig in and think about it pretty hard and sort out how you see this concept, this idea, as a building, but also in the context of neighborhood. We're not going to get perfect guidance from any one place. I will say that Kate you're going to want to know what she thought. I mean, I can throw it down to a thought. She had a specific objection to the brick. And I know that seems like just one element, but in her mind, and it's just her opinion, it doesn't have to be yours, doesn't have to drive this, there are four of us here. She felt that it was an unnecessary disconnect with the traditional brick, if you will, that tends to predominate in Hudson. So take that as you will. That was, well, she had two thoughts. She also questioned whether or not the fenestration could have some sort of faux divides so that it was not single pane. And I have no clue about the technology. It was simply raised as a question. Anyway, I'm shutting up. You guys go ahead.
I'll start then.
Yeah, please.
As everyone said, the mass, I think what you've created, to me, fits the difference of what was there. It's just that I think if I saw the building as like a black and white line art, I think it's wonderful. But I'm going to have to agree with Kate. It's the finish that I have a big concern with. I don't think it's really in harmony with the rest of the neighborhood. And it's really the brick finish and the bay I have concerns about.
What about the bay?
Because
bay is
I'm just not understanding how it works with this project.
How it works visually or how it works?
Yeah, visually, yeah. Or maybe to Chip's point, maybe it has to be more open or something like that. I find it jarring. Mm-hmm. It doesn't seem to be in harmony with the rest of the building somehow.
This is really a difficult call.
No kidding.
The thing that troubles me the most about it is that it does come down to a matter of policy as to whether our philosophy as a historic preservation commission under the law of Hudson is to try to reconstruct, if it's necessary to do, to replace buildings, to try to reconstruct something that's as close as possible to the old building, or whether we believe that new architecture that is consistent with the current building is preferable because it's not ersatz, because it's appropriate to this time. I do think within that context, the mass and proportion of the building is extremely important and needs to be consistent with the rest of the neighborhood. And I think that in the case of this building, I think you've done that. I do think putting in the eyebrow windows is a good move because it makes it more, it refers to the historic architecture of the street. I have to say my personal philosophy is that it's better to build something contemporary that nevertheless fits with the proportion and mass of the existing architecture, because I think it will continue the tradition of Hudson as someone has called an encyclopedia of American architecture. It will allow us to develop into the future. I think the fact that this building is a passive building is one thing that's a hallmark of today that I think is a good thing, is appropriate. You know, we try to separate our personal aesthetic opinions from what are matters of principle. I have to say, I don't love the finish of this building. Personally, myself, it's not my taste. But I think I am going to take a position that I think it's better to do something that's not a copy of something old, but that is a new construction that is compatible with the rest of the neighborhood in terms of its mass and proportion, but is something new. So that's my feeling.
Thank you. Well, we've certainly had a lot of time to think about this. We've seen you guys quite a few times.
Yes.
I thank you for that and your patience.
Thank you.
You know, and again, we've had diverse and varied opinions, and such is life. You know, personally, I like what you've done. I think it's sensitive to what was there. It's 21st century, moving forward. Still say Hudson is not a museum, but there's a lot of representation of all historic, all architectural movements from the 18th century and forward. So, you know, I think perhaps your design, while everybody may have different takes on big shows and windows and all of those details, you know, we may certainly look back 50 years, 100 years down the road and say, wow, that house really, you know, was in keeping with Hudson as forward thinkers in architecture moving forward. So, you know, I am for it. I think you guys did a great job, and thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. I was not looking forward to this. There are only four of us, which is unfortunate, because I would love to have a couple more opinions on something that's difficult. And the problem with four is not that we're not four wonderful people, but it puts enormous power on the nay side. Because whether we have four or seven, you still have to have four votes to succeed. So I think we're going to be tight on this. Anyway, may I have a motion to find the application complete? Paul, Hugh, all in favor? Aye. Do I have to use the language about waiving a public hearing? We just had a public hearing. Thank God. Motion to approve the application as presented and ask the city attorney to prepare a certificate of appropriateness. Motion. Hugh. Second. All in favor? This is what I thought. We don't have four votes.
So what does that mean? Do we?
It means the approval is denied, and it probably means we'll probably have coffee after this, and think through some next steps, which I'll obviously share with the commission. But okay. That's where we are. It might or might not have had a different outcome. If we had more folks, but it is what it is. Thank you.
Thank you.
We've got a 260 warrant application. Hi.
Hi.
How are you? Good, how are you?
Doing well.
My current challenge is finding the right folders. You are a revised bracket.
That's correct.
I don't mean that personally. Well, you know, that's all right. You are actually, who are you?
My name is Matt.
Oh, terrific. Okay. Matt, do you have any more? I just downloaded. Oh, Craig, I'm sure gave you more.
He gave it to you.
I know that. You don't have to remind me.
All right.
I was testing you. Okay. I don't hand these out. You got them in the mail, right?
Kidding.
So the issue is you guys were installing a sign without the bracket that had been presented. Do I understand that correctly?
Yes.
Okay. And code enforcement asked you to prepare a new application?
That is correct.
With a revision on the bracket. Can you show us where, I'm not understanding, I see the old bracket, where's the...
The bracket.
What are you looking at for the new?
Yeah, so this is the bracket that we have now, very minimal, kind of holds it on either side, very low profile.
It's like a single pipe.
Exactly.
I understand. And that's not what was there, right?
No, it was supposed to be a hanging scroll bracket.
Right.
However, we was trying to position that on the building where we needed to. It was a little bit too large. We didn't want to go into the marble. And we certainly didn't want it to be unstable, so we redesigned it, and it's basically just on the top and the bottom, there is a metal bar that holds it, and then two kind of L-shaped brackets that fit to the corner.
Okay.
But it's, again, very kind of minimal. The only thing that we didn't do or weren't able to do was put the scroll bracket that we originally wanted to there.
I understand.
But the sign itself is the exact same.
Is this the right proportion? I mean, is it?
Yeah, 24 inches by 24 inches.
We had approved this a while, the sign certainly a while ago, then we approved the awning and so on. So I don't know what you guys think. I don't have a problem with the record. I'm wearing the record. May I have a motion finding the application complete? Hugh? Miranda? Favor? Aye. Obviously, I can bring away the public hearing and a motion to ask the city attorney to prepare a certificate of appropriateness for the bracket that's presented. So moved. Hugh? Miranda? All in favor? Aye. Done. 2 weeks.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for the new application.
See you there.
So, Maurice, this is the entryway or porch step up coming into your house.
That's correct.
And currently, you had a handicapped access with a ramp. So you're taking off the handicapped access and putting up the porch. I'm sorry, folks. I'm quite sure this is my screw up, not anybody else's. So take a look, and we'll pass it around. It's all I got.
This was previously approved back in 2014 for previous owners, but...
Is that the same porch?
The same porch. Everything is the
Could
same.
Could you show, if you have a drawing or whatever, show it to
the package.
Yeah, that would be great. Thank you. And we'll pass it to Paul. Do you have one more of those, Bruce?
Sure.
Same as the same. Okay. I see. So there was a C of A that was approved and it's expired.
Correct.
Understood. Thank you.
There's some pictures, but I'm using that. Right.
So this is this what is you what want I'm, to do,
correct.
And this is what it is now?
No, this is what it was in the 70s, I think. I don't, this
no,
is actually not.
But
this is where I'm going.
So the drawing that you have
is based,
the stairs
is based on this one.
Is based on okay.
Is this the same number?
It should be identical. We've already reviewed this a long time ago.
It's just the 27th.
Maurice's family needed the handicap access and so on, so we're going back to the original concept now. Hello, Mary.
How are you, sir?
I'm good, thank you.
All right.
This is what it was originally. Looks like that's the one I'm
are there measurements for each of the, like, for the balustrade, for the handrail?
It's all in the package.
Oh, I'm sorry, you have the check missing.
I did want to make a comment about the joint committee session we had. I know I reported that in the last meeting and probably ended up talking about myself. What I should also have mentioned was Craig, who had made at important points some positive comments about our commission. And it I think that was very helpful. So thank you. That's all she wrote. Anybody else? Any other business?
I just have a question while we were talking about 260 Warren Street. Did we have any response to our request?
Apparently not. To take the coating off the marble?
Is there anything we can do to pursue that request?
There is no path forward, according to the city attorney. What we did do, you were in the meeting right last time, so we shamed Jason a little bit. He committed in that meeting that he was going to talk to Eric, and we'll find out whether that happened.
One thing was true. Currently, when we send out the C of A applications and so forth, we send it, I say we, my office sends it to the chairman and the city attorney. If everybody, the other two commissions that we send it to everybody on the commission. If everybody on this commission has a city email address, we would send it to you as individuals. That way, when you get these things, you'll have them well before a meeting. I don't know if it takes a little bit off the chairman, but at least everybody gets it. I don't do that now because I don't think everybody on this commission has a city email address.
Everybody on the commission has a city email address, with the possible exception of Kate Johns, and that's addressable. That's fixable.
So what I would recommend is everybody on the commission, including Aaron, secretary, she should have one.
I have one. Yes.
She does.
If everybody would email me that way I can confirm it's in there and at least get it in my address book. And then moving forward, all these applications will be sent to everybody to this commission.
That would be terrific, Craig.
It just helps when we get here and you have it ready.
It would help me a lot, particularly a meeting like this where I think we had eight or more C's of A to vote on. Looks like a 1920s movie of me wandering around the laundry room, which has the largest counter in the house to assemble this stuff. So that would be terrific. May I have a motion to adjourn? You, Miranda? Aye. Well done. Thank you. So dude, we've got to figure out what to do with...